Send it at the missions if you don't get it quick. Take your Bible
this evening, turn to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Psalm 14 says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. That heading tops 53 of the psalms. 30, I did the math. You might want to check it with Brother Ray. I did the math. 35% of the psalms bear that heading, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So common thought, because Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this is to the chief musician. It is something that is to be sung. So follow me for just a second, because this is really popular in the day and age in which we live. Churches that only do praise and worship music, well, they would call. Music should only be praise and worship. Now, this is to the chief musician, this is to be sung, and this is not praise and worship, this is the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now that is pretty dark and dismal. And this is to be sung. So this song is being sent to the chief musician and said, sing this. People need to hear this. And so if you have, as you see a church that says, oh no, we don't sing hymns because it's just way too much doctrine. I don't know what they do with the psalms, which are songs, and this one especially. Look at verse 1. The fool hath, this be sung, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't know how they sang it, but I'm sure it was powerful, and I'm sure it would give you goosebumps. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's not a happy song. But it's to be sung. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see, and God does see, if there were any that did understand and seek God. So it's easy to look at this psalm and say, those foolish people that say there is no God. But God is looking down from heaven and looking down on men to see if there is any. Now that would be you and I. So don't be dismissive of this. And again, this is to be sung in the assembly. And it's not just attacking those on the outside that say there is no God. It's to be convicting to those who are within the sound of the song that live their life as if there is no God. Here's a question. Do you live your life as if there is no God? You say, preacher, I'm in church. I carry a Bible. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. It is possible to know Christ as your Savior, be on your way to heaven, and live your life as if there is no God that God does not see. It is absolutely possible to do that. Christians do it every single day. So God's looking to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And this is being sung in the congregation. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteousness. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Turn with me to the cousin of Psalm 14. I'm looking. I know I've got it in here somewhere. But I, which one? Oh, Psalm 53. Sure. It was higher up in my notes. I put it in the heading. Psalm 53 is a companion of Psalm 14. That look a little similar. Psalm 53 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corruptible are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." So not only is this to be sung in the congregation, but they had two styles of the song. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And remember, God is not repeating because he is, oh, wow, we need 150. We've only got 149. Let's add another one. Oh, we'll just do this one twice. God doesn't do that. He does it for emphasis. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. And there were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. A very close companion to Psalm 14. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts this evening. May we be found to be living our life in recognition that you see what we do, you see where we go, you know our thoughts. May they be found in accordance with your word and pleasing to thee, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Because to live otherwise is to live as a fool. Now, you would be offended if I came up to you this evening and said, you are a fool. But if you live your life with as if there is no God, that's what God calls you. Now, the fool would not deny God unless he were a fool by nature in denial. Then a fool then becomes a fool in practice. And it is the very height of sin to attack the very existence of God. Yet to know God and live as if there is no God just seems to be more egregious to me. To deny the existence of fire. Recently, Nelson and I were working on a project. It was soldering. We were sweating a pipe. I was doing the sweating. So I had the flame, and he had the pliers, and he was holding on to four pieces of copper. And I said, now this is the order I'm going to do. He's going to sweat this one, and this one, and this one. And we're going to do it from the bottom up, and then you're going to flip it over anyway. So he's holding on to it, and he's in front of me. And he's holding on to this piece that is in front of me, and I've got the flame, and the flame's going this way. And then I'm over here, and the flame is going that way. Well, he's over there, and he's going, Pastor. And I'm saying, don't move. And he's like, I've got the flame. I'm like burning his hand. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? So poor guy, probably why he's not here tonight. I burned his hand off. To deny the existence of fire is not going to keep you from getting burned. And there are people that do. There are Christians that deny the existence of hell. It is not going to keep people from getting burned. It's just crazy. People deny God, they deny hell. It does not take away from God's existence. But the fool has said that. He might not verbalize that, but he has said it in his heart in the way that he lives. And his heart, when we do that, it defies reason. I find it difficult to talk to somebody who lives their life as if there is no God. And if we ask the question this evening, who in the room would delight to be the fool tonight? Okay, who wants to play the fool? Nobody would want to volunteer for that. Yet in this text, it is not just the outward display, it is the inward display of the heart that is being addressed here that God sees. Again, the question, do you live as if there is no God? Do you drive as if there is no God? Do you pray as you drive? If we did more praying, there'd be a whole lot less beeping. Do you seek God? Did you seek God this morning? Did you seek Him this week? When was the last time you started your day with God? When you look around the congregation, do you see people who are missing? People going through a difficult time. So today, all day long, you say, well, that's what the pastor does. Well, that is what the pastor does, but that's what Christians, we ought to do, is care about other people. Amen. Have you prayed for Brad and Lisa Bird today? Brother Bird has received a terminal diagnosis. You know what that means? Do you know what that means to Mrs. Bird? Have you prayed for them today? Can you be bothered? Say, Pastor, I don't even know who they are. And that's the shame of the church. To have somebody that is here, that is prominent, that is faithful, but we don't know who they are. We have a tendency to come in and sit down in our own little place and not interact with others. Charlie and Donna Chestnut. Brother Chestnut, I told him that we would pray for him this evening. He went for his eye checkup, and he has lost a significant amount of his sight. He's saying, "Well, I don't know who they are." I said, "Right back here. You got to get up and walk around the room." A delightful, delightful couple. Alvy and Nancy Moore have been missing. They're just going through a really dark time physically. Now, Brother Allen, who. Not this Brother Allen, the other Brother Allen that sits in front of you. He's got snow white hair and a big beard and wears jeans and has suspenders, red suspenders on. He's been at the hospital all day today. And you see somebody missing, you say, well, that slacker. He's not slacking. He's been in the hospital all day. And we should pray. Matter of fact, why don't we just stop right now and pray for them? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the birds. And promise these folks that we would pray for them in the public service this evening. And it does not have to be relegated to the end of the service that we just stop and pray. We ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I thank you for the medical facilities that are helping the bird family with their physical needs. But Father, they should know that they have a church family that is touched by the feeling of their infirmities. We know that we have a Heavenly Father that is, and I pray that you would help them, encourage them, sustain them. Thank you for Charlie and Donna. Thank you for their faith and trust in you. I pray that you would help Brother Chestnut as he deals with the loss of his sight, that you would give the doctors wisdom to help him, and that you would give him grace and help for the way forward. What a delightful Christian gentleman he is. Father, I thank you for Elvie and Nancy. It's just been many weeks that they have been here. Their physical challenges are beyond description. Our little aches and pains cannot possibly compare to what these two folks have endured just in the past 12 months. I pray that you would help them, encourage them, and again, that they would know that they have a church family that is praying for them, that they would not be out of sight, out of mind. They get a text message, a phone call, a letter. Father, I thank you for Brother Allen and for his faithfulness, just a good, kind-hearted gentleman at the hospital even now. I pray that you would help him, encourage him, and that he would be one that would know that he has a church family that cares about him. Father, may we not just be prayers. In the last 10 minutes on Wednesday night, May we not be the fool that lives his life as if there is no God. May we help reach out to, pray for, sustain, be an encouragement to others along the way. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I don't want to be a fool, because the fool is corrupt in his heart. Verse 1 says, they are corrupt. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to live abominable. They are abominable works. I don't want God to look down at me and say, there's a guy that does nothing good. But the Lord did look down, verse 2, upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. That is who we ought to strive to be. But sadly, many times we're like no. Instead of K-N-O-W, we're N-O. God says, go. And we say, no, no. Like the Lord said, hey, do this. And not so, Lord. No, Peter, no, that's not a good response. But oftentimes that is our response. The corruptness of the human mind grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul, in writing, said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We should not do that. But when you do abominable works, you grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. This pastor just seems like the only one. Noah was the only one. You are not the only one, but Noah was. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God sees that. Verse 12 of Genesis chapter 6 says that the earth was corrupt. All flesh was corrupted. We should strive to be what the Lord admonished us in Matthew chapter 5, to be salt and light. Sadly, we're often dismissive. In reading Romans chapter 1, we would refer to the fool. We would have a tendency to look at this psalm, Psalm 14, and Romans 1, as to that person who has just thumbed his nose at God. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even is eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. There is no excuse. Because that when they knew God, and do we know God? Well, we know him for salvation. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now again, it's easy to take Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 and Romans chapter 1 and say, well, that's the God-hater. It definitely applies to that. But do you live your life as if there is no God? Will you seek God tomorrow morning? When you have an issue, will you bring it to the Lord in prayer? That's what Paul talked about, pray without ceasing. When the Lord brings somebody to mind, will you pray for them and then reach out to them and let them know that you prayed? So just recently, as a fellow that was here a long time ago, they've been long gone, but I was driving down the road and thought, all of a sudden they came to mind, and so I prayed for them as I was driving. Don't close your eyes while you drive and pray. Then when I got to my destination, it's easy to get up and get going. I thought, you know, grabbed a note card and a piece of paper and just said, hey, it's very burdened today praying for you, and I want you to know that. Put a stamp on it, put it in an envelope, dropped it to the post office, sent it off to them. I had no idea what was going on in their life. Zero idea. But on the day that they received that letter in the mail, He had just come out of surgery. And his wife said, "You got a letter. Remember that preacher in Alexandria? Yeah, yeah. He sent you a letter." And opened it up and said, "Just very burdened to pray for you." And brought tears to his eyes to think that somebody from years and years and years ago took the time. So the Lord will do that. He'll bring people to mind. And if you'll operate as if there is a God, when the Lord does that, you'll do something. Send a text message, send a letter, make a phone call, reach out to people and let them know that you care. It's just so very, very important. But the Lord looked down. There was none that did good. We call that the sins of omission. And sin is not necessarily when you do bad things, but that is bad, and you shouldn't do bad things. It's also when you're supposed to do a good thing and you don't do it. Sins of omission, things that you're omitting. And we have a tendency to be self-absorbed, it's my world. And it's not about anybody else, but it is about others. Jesus Christ, in talking to the folks, Matthew 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cummin, and have omitted," sins of omission, "the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone." I don't want somebody to look at me and go, "Pharisee!" That is not a compliment. But when the Lord looks down in verse 2, that's what he saw. That's what he saw. Brother Frank, did you read the prayer letter from Brother Snyder yet? Brother Snyder, Honduras. Got cancer. He's been in California getting treatment. The work that he does on the field, nobody else wants to do. And he's just getting job done. And he not feel sorry for me. It's just, can you take the time to pray for Brother Snyder? And we should. Amen. Let's just stop and pray. Father, thank you for the Snyder family. They're very precious to you. Very precious to me. I count him as a dear friend. We have interacted on a professional level, ministry level, but on a personal level, with family and cares and concerns. Well projects have been done, schools have been run, resources have been sent. The church has lovingly, generously given to them and ministered to their physical needs monetarily. But when it comes to cancer, we can't cure that. Father, there is a ministry that is grieving because their leader is not there. May we be burdened to pray. Not just burdened to give, but burdened to pray. To pick up a card and write a note and send it to Honduras and let them know that we care. I hope that it will not be said of Lighthouse Baptist Church that we just can't be bothered to care. May we be people that care. Help us to do that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the sad part is verse 3, and that is the waywardness of believers. And we know the waywardness of the fool, but waywardness of the believers is consistent. That we just can't be bothered with what's going on in Honduras or with the Snyder family or with other church members that are going through a difficult time. And we become filthy. You say, "Pastor, I don't see my lifestyle as filthy." And that's not a good thing. Because you look at filth long enough, it doesn't look bad. You smell bad long enough, you don't smell. And I know that firsthand. I born on a farm, hung around with the cows, and when I was in college, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's winter time out in northern Indiana, and the snow is blowing, and it's 26 degrees below zero, and a cow is not 98.6. I want to say their normal temperature is like 107 or something. I'll just tell you, in the morning, when you're kneeling down and putting the milk around that cow and waiting for it to get done, leaning your head against them and taking a little nap at 4 o'clock in the morning on that heating pad is just a very, the milker going, and you're just, and you're out. But the problem is then you get up and you take a shower and you go to school, college, and you still smell like the barn. It's just really hard to get that. Now, I don't smell it. I don't smell it. But you're sitting next to a pretty girl, and she looks over at you and says, "It smells like a horse barn in here." And I'm thinking, oh, that's me. That's me. But I don't smell it. I don't smell it. How do you get out of college without getting a wife? That's how you do it. You just go hang out with the cows all day, and nobody wants to be around you. I'll guarantee you. They move away when you come into town. But here's the thing. I didn't smell it. I didn't smell it. It is possible to get that way in your Christian life, to be around sin, filth, that you just don't see it, you just don't smell it. So say, "Pastor, I just don't see it." You're not giving yourself a compliment. Those offensive odors. Now, verse 4 talks about the iniquity, the persecutors, the workers of iniquity, degraded, wretched, slaves to sin, ignorant. That's not how I want to be described. And they call not upon the Lord. Verse 4 says, that's not what I want to be. And so they have fear of death. It's interesting. I started out my Monday morning, so I strive every day to start out my day looking to have a devotion time. I'm not looking for messages. I'm not looking to study. But this came across my devotional for Monday morning, and it just went really well with tonight. And so I'm going to read it. It comes from Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. One great besetting sin of ancient Israel was idolatry. And the spiritual Israel vexed with a tendency to the same folly. To be sure, Ephraim's star shines no longer today, and the women weep no more for Tammuz, but Mammon still intrudes his golden calf, and the shrines of pride are not forsaken. Self, in various forms, struggles to subdue the chosen ones under its dominion, and the flesh sets up its altars wherever it can find space for them. Favorite children are often the cause of much sin in believers. The Lord is grieved when he sees us doting upon them above measure. They will live to be as great a curse to us as Absalom was to David, or they will be taken from us to leave our homes desolate. If Christians desire to grow thorns to stuff their sleepless pillows, let them dote on their dear ones. It is truly said that there are no gods, for the objects of our foolish love are very doubtful blessings. The solace which they yield us now is dangerous. The help which they can give us in the hour of trouble is little indeed. Why then are we so bewitched with vanities? We pity the poor heathen who adore a god of stone, and yet worship a god of gold. Where is the vast superiority between a god of flesh and one of wood? The principle, the sin, the folly is the same in either case, only that in ours the crime is more aggravated because we have more light and sin in the face of it. The heathen bows to a false deity. But the true God he has never known. We commit two evils inasmuch as we forsake the living God and turn to idols. May the Lord purge us from this grievous iniquity. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. I don't know about you, but I found chapter 14 to be convicting. Father, I pray that we would be convictive, not dismissive, and that we would be motivated to take inventory and action and remove the idols that have corrupted and crowded out the sacred and worship you and you alone. We'll thank you for what you do in our midst as we pray and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a prayer